Welcome back, darlings, to the podcast, Life Looks Different Now. I'm your host, Slanty Noel. In this podcast, we focus on reading one chapter from the Bible every week, doing our best to decipher the Word of God, learning its rules, its laws, its principles, and apply them to our daily lives. Last week, we read from Genesis chapter 14. And from reading Genesis chapter 14, we learn that there was a war that occurred in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot lived. He resided. And remember, Lot is the nephew of Abraham. And during the course of that war, the king of Sodom and Gomorrah lost. Now, they had rebelled against King Chedorlaomer, and they lost. And everything that they have possessed was taken away, including all of their people. And unfortunately for Lot, he lived near the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he was taken into captivity as well. And he lost all of his possessions and his own people. Now, one of his servants escaped somehow and went to Abram and let Abram know what had transpired. And Abram, being the great man that he was, very wealthy man, very powerful man, he had his own people, his own allies, and he decided to protect and redeem his kinsman, who was Lot, his nephew. He pursued the captors. He pursued them as far as all the way north of Dan and retrieved his nephew Lot, his people, and all of his possessions, as well as the possessions of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And upon his return, the king of Sodom wanted to reward, you know, Abram with all of the spoil of the all of the possessions, which of course Abram was entitled to, but he didn't want it. He turned it down, lest the king of Sodom claim that he made Abram wealthy. And Abram didn't want anyone to take credit for his wealth except God. So therefore, he turned it down. But we also learned that Abram was the first man in the Bible to ever tithe. He was the first man to give 10% of his own possessions. Now, this week, we are going to read Genesis chapter 15. Let's see what Genesis chapter 15 has to teach us. Now, before reading Genesis chapter 15, I have a favor to ask. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe to this channel. You and I are learning, are eager to learn the Word of God. Others want to do the same. Give them the gift of knowledge. And of course, you will be helping this channel to grow. Thank you so much for your support. Now, let's get back to reading Genesis chapter 15. God's covenant with Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer. God's covenant to Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer. God's covenant with Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these. Cut them in half and laid them each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kimonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Genesis chapter 15 is an amazing chapter. The reason why is because it is quite profound. It demonstrated to us that God had this very deep, profound interaction with Abram. The chapter opened up by letting us know that Abram had a vision. And the Lord came to Abram in that vision. Now, God may have come to Abram through, through his voice, or maybe God sent an angel, or even God may have personally appeared to Abram. We don't know. The text doesn't necessarily let us know how exactly God went to talk to Abram, but we know that Abram had a vision and God had a deep, profound conversation with Abram in that vision. First, the voice told Abram to not be afraid because he is his shield. The voice told Abram that God, the Lord God, is Abram's shield. Now, we have to remember, in Genesis chapter 14, Abram went into a battle. He fought all the other four kings who have taken his nephew Lot into captivity. He fought these kings and he won the battle. And he took his nephew back and all of his possessions. So Abram had every reason to be afraid because he didn't know if at any point these kings will come back and attack him, right? Because they could have come back and attacked him for retribution. So Abram had many reasons to be afraid, to be fearful for his own safety, as well as his whole household. So that's why God opened up by letting him know he doesn't have to be afraid because God is Abram's shield. He is good. He is Gucci. He doesn't have to be afraid. He has the Most High God protecting him, being his shield. Praise God. Praise God for that. We all want God to be our shield, our protector. All of us want that. I know I certainly do. Abram had that. God was his shield, and Abram needed to hear that. He needed to know that God was his shield. And God was going to give him great reward. Because remember, Abram did not take any of the spoil from the war. He retrieved all of these possessions for Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet when he was offered a great reward, he said, no, thank you. He turned it down. But surely he wanted to make sure that he was somehow going to get compensated. And God came and told him, yes, you may have denied the offering of all of these possessions, all the spoil from the war, but remember, I am your shield. Everything you could possibly want, you are going to have. And secondly, the second thing God told him is that Abraham, he didn't lose anything because God is going to make it up to him. All of these possessions, all of these things, he's going to get all of them back 10 times, 100 times, 10,000 times fold. That was God's promise to Abram. And then the text let us know that Abram appreciated God's promise. But at the same time, Abram had some doubts. Abram was anxious. Abram felt a sense of hopelessness, of emptiness, because Abram did not have children. Remember, we learned chapters prior that his wife Sarai is barren. They didn't have any children. So of course he felt some form of hopelessness. He felt a bit empty inside. And then he said to God, how am I to have all these things when you gave me no descendants? You gave me no offspring. You did not give me any children. I may have all of these possessions, but you did not give me an heir. And Abram was being very honest. He was being truthful, and he knew he could be truthful with God because God was his shield, his Father, his protector, his friend. You see, we too can have conversations like that with God because I know all of us have some promises from God. I know I do. And oftentimes I have these conversations with God asking him, you give me this promise, but I don't know how it will come to pass. We are human. Oftentimes we have doubts. Even when we know that God is good and He is good all the time, we may still have doubts. And Abram was showing us that he was just a human being, just like the rest of us. He too had doubts. And he brought these doubts to the Lord. He told God, how am I supposed to get all of these possessions and all these things, but yet I don't have an heir? And God said to him, and remember, he even said to God, my heir right now is Eliezer, who is just my assistant. So Eliezer must have been like Abram's main servant. And now this man is the one who stood to inherit all of Abram's wealth. But God reassured Abram that I am going to give you an offspring. That man, your man servant, will not be your heir. And listen, when God told Abram that, and God spoke to Abram's doubt with this great promise, letting him know indeed that his own son, his own flesh and blood, will be his own heir, will be the one inherited all of his wealth, his own flesh and blood. Abram believed it. Abram believed it. God made it very clear to Abram that God's promise for Abram and his descendants will be fulfilled. All Abram needed was to have faith and patience. And guess what? Abram believed in the Lord. And for the first time in the text let us know that Abram was made righteous because of his belief, because he believed the word of God and what God had just promised him. And because of his faith, because of his belief there, he became a righteous man. He no longer doubt God. And he continued on following God's instructions. Abram set up a sacrificial ritual for the Lord. He believed God, he trusted God, and then he went on to setting up this beautiful sacrificial ritual before the Lord. And then the next thing we learn from the text is that as the sun came down and Abram fell into a deep sleep, he saw a prophecy about the future suffering and liberations of his descendants. God revealed certain things to Abram at that point. God told Abram that his descendants will be slaves for 400 years, but God will liberate them and God will give them great possessions. How amazing is that? This man can see in his dream that his descendants are definitely going to possess the land, but they will also be in shackles. They'll be, you know, the prophecy is letting him know his descendants will suffer. But God also gave him this great promise that God would bring judgment against his descendants' oppressors. So Abram already know there will be justice. There will be justice. And God promised Abram that he will live a life of peace and he will live to be a very, very old man. Now remember, Abram is already an old man, but God is promising him that he will live even longer and he will be buried in the land of where his father is. He will be buried in peace. But God is so amazing. God is so great. God is so spectacular. I can't help but to be in awe with the Lord because God did not only make these promises to Abram, God confirmed his promises to Abram. He confirmed his covenant with a visual sign. With a visual sign. You know, when the sun had gone down, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch was passing between the offering that Abram had offered to the Lord. The sacrificial offering that Abram had presented to the Lord, God, you know, placed a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch in between them, letting Abram know that indeed God's covenant between God and Abram will be fulfilled. It will come to pass. God affirmed his promises to give Abram's descendant this vast stretch of land, letting him know all of these lands, all of these possessions will be his descendants. They will belong to his descendants, despite the fact that there were diverse tribes living on these lands. It didn't matter. God promised these stretch, these vast lands to the descendants of Abram. And listen, there was nothing that Abram could have done to stop that, to lose that covenant, because God already gave him that covenant. God chose Abram, and his word is true. His word will always come to pass. You see, if there's one thing we can learn today, if there's one thing we can learn from Genesis chapter 15, is to always remember that God's word will always come to pass. It doesn't matter if it takes 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years. What God said he's going to do, he will do, point blank, period. Despite our doubts, despite our confusion, despite, you know, our misbehaving, because oftentimes we do misbehave. We may have been chosen, but we do things that we know we're not supposed to do. Even through all of that, there's really nothing that you can do to lose God's covenant. Today, we have the blessing, you know, God has sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us at the cross. Because of that, God just made a covenant between you and I, letting us know, between us and him, letting us know that we can always go back to the cross, that we shall be saved if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We too just made a covenant with God, and we shall be saved. God just wants us to be patient and have faith. Whatever promise that God has made to you, to your family, whatever the promises that God has given to you that you know deep down in your heart that God said these things will come to pass, understand that they shall come to pass. All you have to do is continue to have faith and be patient. And when doubt creeps in, doubt always creeps in. That's the devil's work. They always go, you know, these doubts, these fears will creep in. Just bring them to God. Have an honest conversation with God and let him know your fears, your anxieties, your doubts. Let him know. Be honest, be truthful, because God already knows these things anyway. All we have to do is trust him and bring them to the Lord in an honest fashion, because he is my father. He is your father. He is my friend. He is your friend. God wants to hear from you, even if it's doubt. Even bring your failures, bring your doubts, bring your confusion, bring your pain, bring everything, your sufferings, bring them to the cross. God wants to hear from you. Have faith, trust him, and be patient. I hope you learned something new from Genesis chapter 15 this week. I know I have. I hope you do as well. And I'm looking forward to reading Genesis chapter 16 with you next week, my darling. Until next time, have a wonderful week. Bisous.